We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, the subject of this address is, what are the means of salvation? Is there any one means to which salvation may be ascribed? In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the apostle wrote, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In this text, the apostle declares that salvation is afforded by the grace of God. The means of this salvation is the teaching of the gospel, given because of the grace and mercy of God, emphasizing both the positive and the negative sides of life. Some would have you believe that salvation is by grace alone, or salvation is by the blood, or by works. But I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, the New Testament teaches that many things are ascribed to salvation. Salvation is by faith, by grace, by works, by the blood of Christ. Yes, salvation is said to be by the Spirit, by the life of Christ, by baptism. On one occasion, the apostle admonished, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. The reasonable Bible student believes that salvation is by all such means and does not select a few selected verses or ideas and build a religious system upon them. One who believes that salvation is by faith alone does not believe all the New Testament, but rather has chosen this means of salvation and built a theory that is misleading to honest people who seek the truth. Another might single out such passages of Scripture that teach that salvation is by the blood of Christ and conclude that salvation is by blood only. Still another might select such Scriptures that teach that salvation is by works and build a theory that salvation is by works only. Such conclusions, friends, are false and without scriptural foundation. But let us investigate the Scriptures. In James chapter 2, verse 24, the apostle affirms that justification is by works and not by faith only. How could one possibly harmonize this statement of inspiration with the theory that salvation is by faith only? The only time in the Bible we find the expression faith only or faith alone is in this text, and the apostle declared that justification is not by faith only. It must be remembered that James in this text is not contending that justification is by works alone. Salvation is no more by works alone than by faith alone. The apostle is affirming that justification must be by faith at work. He positively refutes the theory that justification is by faith alone. No man is justified by faith only. No responsible person is justified without faith, but one who is justified is not justified by faith alone. No man is saved by grace alone, but man is saved by grace. Our text declared that grace brings salvation, teaching or instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, one should be saved by grace, but not by grace alone. According to Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, the apostle states that justification is by the blood of Christ. But it is certainly obvious that this is a general statement relative to salvation. The blood of Christ is a means of salvation. Everyone who is saved by the blood of Christ. Just as all men who are saved by faith, by grace, and by works. So it is of the life of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. We are justified by His life and by His Spirit, even the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, the Apostle Peter commanded the 3,000 to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. This does not mean, ladies and gentlemen, that salvation is by repentance and baptism alone. Repentance and baptism were essential to their salvation. Peter commanded that they repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. They were saved by repentance and baptism. And they were saved by faith. by grace, and by the blood of Christ. Yes, the inspired writer of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 22 declared that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So, when they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, since remission of sins could be only by the blood of Christ, we must conclude that they were saved by the blood of Christ, as well as being saved by repentance and baptism. Furthermore, the apostle exhorted them, save yourselves from this crooked and perverse generation. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. They were saved by grace. It was through the grace of God, His kindness and mercy, that they were taught the truth by Peter and the other apostles, who commanded them to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? The 3,000 on Pentecost, as well as every other case of conversion, then and now, are saved by grace, by faith, and by repentance, by baptism, and by the blood of Christ. Each was a means to the end, salvation. Again, we refer to another case of salvation. In the 9th and the 22nd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we have the record of the conversion of Saul. Having been instructed that he would be told what he must do to be saved, he heard the preacher command, Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. The only thing he was commanded to do in this chapter, Acts 22, verse 16, was to be baptized. Are we then to conclude that Paul was saved by baptism alone? Why, certainly not. That was one condition of his salvation, and it is true in every case of conversion today. But he was no more saved by faith alone than he was saved by baptism alone. And he was no more saved by baptism alone than he was saved by faith alone. A careful study of the text will reveal that he was saved by faith, by repentance, by confession of Christ, and by baptism, and by the blood of Christ. Each was a means of his salvation. Truly, a great salvation. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, man is saved by water baptism. Hear the apostle, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this text, it is affirmed that Noah and the others of those with him were saved by water, which according to a true likeness he declared, baptism doth now save us. However, when we turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 7, there it is affirmed that Noah's salvation was ascribed to faith. Also in the same verse, his salvation is ascribed to the ark. Yet Peter declared that his salvation is ascribed to water. Now, do you ask, how could these things be? In these scriptures, the salvation of Noah is ascribed to faith, to the ark, and to water. Shall one man preach that Noah was saved by faith alone, while another may preach that he was saved by the ark alone, and still another preached that he was saved by baptism alone? Such deductions are absurd and truly would encourage infidelity. Beloved, I ask you to hear me. It must be perfectly obvious that if Noah and those with him were saved by faith alone, they were not saved by the ark at all. To be saved by faith alone is to be saved without anything else. If Noah were saved by faith alone, he was not saved by water. Yet the inspired apostle Peter declared that they were saved by water. When men teach today that man is saved by faith alone, he is making a positive refutation of the inspired oracles of God. Salvation is not ascribed to any one means or condition. Rather, all the conditions of salvation revealed in the New Testament serve as a means to the end, our salvation. But let us observe more closely the example of Noah, referred to by both Peter and Paul, as it relates to salvation. Noah, according to the Scriptures, was saved by faith, by the ark, and by water. Noah believed God. To what extent did he believe God, we might inquire? To the extent that he moved with godly fear, the Bible says. His faith moved him to fear God and obey his commands. My friends, I tell you, and again I say, are you listening? If your faith is not strong enough to move you to obey the commands of Christ, your faith is worth very little. Faith that is not strong enough to obey God is not strong enough to save. Noah believed God, and his faith was strong enough to move him to obey God, in that he prepared the ark to the saving of himself and his family. But, my friends, Noah was not saved by faith alone, or when he simply believed in God. Neither was he saved when he built the ark because of faith. The ark and the faith did not save him, that is, alone. For 120 years, he believed God and performed the great task of building the ark. All of this time, he was preaching the word of God, pleading for the salvation of souls. The multitudes made mockery of his faith, his work, and his preaching. No doubt millions today are making mockery of the faith of the gospel revealed in the New Testament, but ultimately to their own destruction. Noah had faith in God, moved in obedience to his command, built the ark, and preached the word to others. Still, he was not saved as yet. There was another means of his salvation. That was water. We repeat, Peter said that they were saved by water. Behold the salvation of this family. One family of all that were in the world, saved by faith, by the ark, and by water. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, entered the ark and took every living creature as commanded by God. The door was closed. The last sermon had been preached. The last prayer for the people's salvation had been prayed. The earnest pleadings for faith and obedience to God were over. Tears of anxiety would be observed no longer. All but these eight souls were doomed. The appointed hour had come. The mighty judgment of God was upon the people. The lightnings of the heavens lighted the earth. The resounding thunder rolled and vibrated the footstool of God. The fountains of the deep were broken up. The windows of heaven were opened wide. The surging, whirling, massive waters began to cover the earth. No doubt, my friends, fear and sorrow took hold of all men of earth. Cries of mercy, cries of fear, cries of insanity became one mighty chorus of men of earth. But there was no escape. Destruction was the price of that mockery of God. For 120 years, a man of God, a preacher of righteousness, Noah, had faith that moved him to obey God, build the ark, and plead for man's salvation. But only seven souls entered the ark with him. Oh, my friends, the folly of disobedience unto God. With genuine faith in God, man must obey the commands of Christ. Christ commands not only faith, but repentance and baptism for the remission of sins, as I have pointed out. God made water baptism a part of man's salvation. Have that godly fear that will move you to obey the command of God, and I beg you not to reject the command of the Lord. Peter declared that it is a means of our salvation. The small number saved of Noah and the ark did not prevent the destruction of the disobedient. The commands of God revealed through Noah were true no matter if only a few were saved. The commands of our Lord are true and must be obeyed today, even if only a few obey the gospel. I beg you, beloved, be not in the number who will be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them when they realize it is too late to obey the gospel and be saved. Become a Christian today through faith and obedience to the commands of the Lord. Add to your faith those great qualities of Christianity: virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Be faithful and loyal as a member of the Lord's church. Live for the end of your